Saul and Abishai and, I mean, Saul and the other one, the captain, Abner, sleeping in the wrong place, you know. We don't want to sleep in the wrong place. The Lord will grant you a refreshing in Jesus' name. Let's rise up to pray together that the Lord will touch you in this last full day of the meeting so that what God has prepared for you, it will help you to receive. Open your mouth and pray. Tell yourself and tell the Lord, Lord, I will not be weary. I will not be tired. I want to get something before I go tonight. Just a short while, just a little while. God, I want to get something. I want you to do something in my life. I want you to speak to me again and refresh me so that by the time I go, I will be filled to overflowing. In Jesus' name we pray. Our precious Father, we are so grateful because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, we thank you because of the way you have been feeding us. We thank you because of the word that gives us strength, gives us life, gives us power. Lord, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. We pray, O Lord, that as we look at your word once again before we go to rest, O Lord, fill us to overflowing. Do something new in our lives and grant us the reward of people who persevere to the end in Jesus' name. We thank you because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. God bless you. Running the race courageously. Running the race courageously. Running the race courageously. There is a race to be run. And those who are going to run the race successfully, they need courage. And I pray that courage the Lord will instill into all of us together in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I read from verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. They all run. One receives a prize. And God is saying, run, that you may obtain a prize. It then means that it is difficult to run if there is no perspective. Running becomes meaningful when there is a goal before you, something you are aiming at. And many people in the world, they are there going from place to place and running after something that they don't even know themselves. And at the end of time, they evaluate and they ask themselves, what have I been running for? Because maybe they hear other people, the tides of time, the things that people are checking, the things that are making people tick, and they run after the other people in the rat race. And at the end, they now evaluate, what have I been spending my lifetime for? It will not be like that in Jesus' name. Running becomes meaningful. Running becomes very, very productive when there is a goal, there is a perspective. And here we see it said before us. The Christian life is not something that we just do haphazardly. It's a purposeful journey. It's a purposeful race because you want to obtain a prize. There is a prize set before us. Know ye not? That they who run, they run all, but one obtain, receives the prize. So run, that he may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You want proficiency, you want acumen, you want something, an excellence, the mastery. In something important, then you are going to be diligent, you are going to be consistent, and you are going to be temperate in all things. It's just like an orchestra, they are striving for the mastery. Everybody singing together in the level and in the tempo. Everybody, you know, everything has to go clockwise. And they are temperate in everything. If there is a distraction coming, they manage that distraction. Because they cannot go overboard. They cannot shout too much. They cannot go too low. Everything has to be, synchronous. And everything has to be together. That is somebody who is running for a mastery. The Bible says they are temperate in everything. In eating, in drinking, there is a price they pay because of the proficiency they are looking at. Now, what do they do it for? The Bible tells us, now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it because there is a goal. And the footballer, the athlete, and everyone, you know, you cannot eat this one, you must eat this one, you must watch this one, you don't drink this one, you don't go out at this particular time, you don't go out, you have to go out at this particular time, early in the morning, late in the evening. Their lives are regimented because of the goal before them. They want to achieve a goal. The Bible says the goal they have before them is corruptible. That means that thing is perishable. That thing will not endure till eternity. But we, the crown we are looking for, the goal before us is incorruptible. It's something that transcends time. It goes beyond time. It goes to eternity. That's what makes the Christian journey a noble journey. It takes faith to run the Christian race. Ask any businessman, choose between me paying you 1 million euros now or in 5 years' time I pay you 2 million euros. Every businessman will choose for 1 million right now because he doesn't know what is going to happen in 2 years. And when you calculate all the gain and you accumulate all the gain and everything, he can turn that 1 million to 5 million in 2 years. So the businessman, a real businessman, will not say, money now in my account is better than whatever you want to pay in the future because the future is a promise. And in the business world, you don't have too much promise to live on. Because the crisis can occur at any time. But there are still some businessmen that make investments, long-term investments. And when they say the whole thing is crashing and everything, everybody is withdrawing money from the store, they say, just leave it there. They look beyond the crisis of 1, 2, 3, 5 years, and they say, I know in 10 years, we have always followed the cycle. In 10 years' time, nothing will turn around. And if I leave it there, the dividends I'm going to get will more, all the crises will even out. That is a long-term visionary. Christian life is like that. No matter what happens in the short term, because it is a marathon, not a sprint, it will average everything out because it's a noble goal. You want something that is incorruptible, something that you cannot compare with time. It lives beyond time. In verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, there is no probability of error here. There is assurance. There is no way you can run the Christian race without faith. Faith says there is no error. There is no probability, no chances of error, because I know God is always right. If you don't have that faith, running the race is tedious because you ask many questions. Suppose that happens. Suppose that happens. Suppose we even get to that heaven and we don't see anybody. You understand? So you cannot run that race except by faith. As you now know, my God will never lie. I'm prepared to give my life for this. You cannot run half-heartedly. The people who make progress in anything they do, they are the people who give their whole life to it. As you know, as a Christian, as a minister, as a member of the church, for you to be able to really make significant progress, you give yourself, your entire self, to that thing. Why is the church prospering? Why is the church redeemed? Because Jesus Christ gave himself. Now God could have sent an angel. He could have sent something. He could have even raised a man, an ordinary man. and give him so much power and say, okay, you will be the Messiah. No, God gave everything he had for the redemption of man. And that's why it takes faith. You as a believer, you will know that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the primary promise is the promise of eternity. And I'm ready to seal my faith by anything, whatever. I'm prepared. Are you prepared? I pray the Lord will prepare you in Jesus' name. So that is what makes the Christian life worth living. That's what distinguishes between people who just talk about Christianity, who take Christianity as it were a garment, and people who say it's faith. I live by it. I eat by it. If that faith crumbles, I crumble. There are some people who give their whole life, everything, to their business. And if that business crashes, they crash. That's the Christian life. The only thing is that it never crashes. It will not. Because it has withstood the test of time. And we will not be the first people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Others have done it, and they've got a story to tell. You will tell your own story in Jesus' name. I pray you don't crash land, or you make it till the end in Jesus' name. It says, because now I know why I'm living, I know why I'm doing it, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. Praise the Lord. When you find the Christian life is so wonderful, you are not just talking to other people. Come on, let's follow the Lord. Let's follow the Lord. No, you stand as an example. You know, it's not just preaching. And then we come, everybody, sweet talk. You know, in the song the choir sang to us, the first piece, you know, life is easy. When everything is smooth. Everything is at its best. Faith is very easy at that time. But then something happens. Things change. And you're in the valley. On the mountain, everybody can say, hey, look. And now you're in the valley. And trouble comes. Then your faith will be put to the test. And it's so people will be able to say, the God on the mountain, it's the same God in the valley. We are getting on the mountain. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because that God that was with me when I killed Goliath, he will be with me in the valley of death. Praise the Lord. It makes all the difference. That's why Christianity is not just talk of mouth. It's not just preaching alone. Tried, tested. And the devil has tried you over and over and over and over again and knows that this one, there is no other thing we can do with him. I pray you will be like that. So that it will not just be talk of mouth. Who are you? This, I'm a Christian. Christians are not known just by mouth. The character, the being able to persevere, the trials that you have gone through successfully, the temptations that have come, and you are able to see the bear came, I defeated that bear. The lion came, I defeated that lion. And this Goliath has come now, I will finish that Goliath. And because you know that you are true, other people, no matter, even when they are kings, they will know this one is serious. Go and God be with you. That's what happened to David, and he did it. Now the question is for you. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a believer? Why not just sit down and enjoy yourself? And what is this? I'm a believer because I want to go to heaven. Who cares? Why do you want to go to heaven? Suppose you get to heaven and then you just discover that it's a village. What are you going to do? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Do you know the way? Who has been there? Are you sure? Ask yourself questions. I'm not afraid of asking critical questions. If you don't ask critical questions, you never get substance. Hey, we're not going to heaven. Everybody is going to heaven. No, I'm not going to heaven because everybody is going to heaven. What makes that heaven different? Is it worth pursuing? What's the alternative? Amen. You know, some people who choose heaven because the alternative is worse. The hellfire. You know? I don't want to go to hell. That's one way. He said, look, no matter what, I don't want to go to hell. And that's the only thing they are talking about heaven. But it's just like, if you are talking like that, it's just like somebody, he holds a gun. As a man, I say, hey, woman, stand up. And then what do you think she will do? She will stand up, hold a gun. You marry me or I kill you. Or I marry you. But there is no love in that thing. You understand? Because what's the alternative? Death. So, it doesn't make sense. In my father's house, there are many mansions. You know, what makes the Christian worth living is because there is a person there. Many years ago, I always went home. I grew up, you know, as a teenager. I loved my mom. We would discuss. There are things she wouldn't discuss with others. She would discuss with me. And then all the time I was going home. For me, home was natural, you know. We just went home. But there was a day. Something had happened before that time. And then I got home. Strange enough, it was completely different. Actually, the house was there. The people were there. It didn't look like home anymore. That was a lesson for me in my life. You know why? Because I just realized that home was not just the house. Home was a person. And she had died. So I got home. I stood outside. It was different. The house and all the brothers, sisters, everybody. But one individual that made that home a home, well, daddy had passed on some years before, that was the individual that made home home. And that was the time when I got home, after she had died, that I discovered home was not home anymore. Do you know, I wouldn't want to go to heaven if Jesus would not be there. What makes heaven heaven is the personality of the Savior that is there. That's why Moses, when God said, go with the people, I don't need to go with you, I will send angels, I know. If you are not going to go with us, don't carry, we will stay here. We will stay here in the wilderness. That is what makes the Christian life worth living. That you know, if I leave this place, this Jesus that I've been, you know, staying with, I've been praying, and you know, we see him vividly. No man has seen God at any time. But I you know, that fellowship, you understand now? The fellowship that you cannot explain to another individual. The fellowship that you cannot say, this is how it feels. It's so close. I want to meet that Jesus. That is why we need courage. To be able to go step by step. It is getting to heaven and meeting Jesus. That is the greatest price. If I will get to heaven and an angel will come give me a crown, I will ask, where is Jesus? I said, Jesus doesn't live here. I said, send me back. quick. I don't want to stay here. Because I have fellowship with him here on earth. And I have known what that Jesus has done in my life, personally. And then I get to heaven and say, okay, good, there are mansions, there are cathedrals, there are glass houses and everything. If it is a wooden shed, and they say, there is where Jesus is, I say, wait, I prefer. Because I know where Jesus is, the rest, it will take care of itself. That is the price, my brethren. That's why we are doing it. You know, we sing, when we get to heaven, at the marriage supper, all the saints shall gather at the last assembly. Who will be the master of that assembly? It's Jesus Christ himself.
That's what makes the difference. That's why we need courage. That is our perspective. You know, you cannot run well if there is no perspective. But then you need to pursue. Because if you have a goal and you don't go after that goal, you will not realize it. A goal becomes a goal when there is somebody pursuing it. Don't forget that one. In Hebrews chapter 12, read from verse 1 to verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, how? With patience, the race that is set before us. What do you see at the end of that verse? No, wait. At the end of that verse, what do you see? Comma. What does that tell you? That sentence is not yet finished. If you are going to run with patience, then the next verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Why do we look at Jesus? Because he has demonstrated the example. Amen. Because he has loved us and he has given himself for us. That's why we are looking at Jesus. I don't want to look unto the devil. Even if the devil will give me the whole world. There is nothing loving or lovely about the devil. And that's why when the devil begins to wink at you, come. You know the lights that shine, a lot of shine. Like, wait. There is somebody who loved me and gave himself for me. Because I have known him as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I have known him. Will the devil want me to lie down in green pastures? Will the devil restore my soul? He couldn't do that. The things that the devil will give, they are just flashing lights. And then you have a wearied soul. But looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, and what? The finisher. Amen. That's why Paul the Apostle prayed, he who has begun a good work in you, what will he do? He will perfect it, will finish it. You have given your life to Jesus Christ, he will finish it. There will be trials on the way. There will be temptations. There will be challenges. There are many, many things that will come on the way. But whatever he has started, he is able to finish. I'm persuaded about that. And that's what makes us to be able to pray. When temptations come, there are some temptations that come your way. You know, God, how am I going to overcome this? You just say, looking unto Jesus. And you say, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, help me. He will help you. Ask the Savior to help you. Amen. Running the Christian race demands understanding what is at stake and preparing ourselves to do what is required. You have a perspective, that is number one. Then you pursue. You pursue that goal. Say, looking unto Jesus. I'm looking at him and looking up. If verse 3 says, consider him. Amen. When anything happens to you, consider Jesus. We wouldn't be able to run the race without strength. Do you know people who perform on the stage? Quite a number of them have to use something. That's why you find out many of them being drug addicts. Why? The pressure to perform, the expectation to be able to see, oh, wow, they need something. But if they knew Jesus, if they knew the Lord, they wouldn't be going for drugs. Brother, sister, whatever pressures are on you, there is a strength coming from the Lord himself. Since my grace is sufficient for you, we don't need to crumble. If thou faint in the day of adversity, then thy strength is small. What do? Go to the Lord for strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk. They shall not faint. So we draw our courage from the Almighty, but you need to understand what is at stake. And in verse 4, it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Sin is coming. You are resisting psychologically, but there comes a time you have to resist with blood. No, I'm not going to do this. I prefer to die. Where do you get that courage from? The faith that is in you, the Spirit of God that is in you, He will sustain your infirmity in the day of trial. That's why it's always very important. The Christian life is a reality. It's not just an emotional thing. You can't run it all on emotion. You know, when you meet on the train station, especially in the summer, you see one teenager and another teenager, a boy and a girl. What is doing them? I love you. That's an emotional thing. People who have been married for long, they know that it's more than that. You understand? Suppose granny will come to the papa and say, you'll be wondering, after 45 years of marriage, what's wrong? Emotion will not last forever. You know, I think that, you know, if somebody is a teenager, the thing jumps on the adrenaline and all the hormones and everything jumps upon them. And they don't know how to control. They are shaking all over. That's what, after some time, you cool down. You say, this is love. And you know what they will say? Papa doesn't, you know, my parents don't understand being in love. We will keep quiet. Where did we start from? The love that will cook, the love that will iron clothes. It doesn't appear in the dictionary of the teenager. Their own love doesn't iron. It doesn't cook. It doesn't set the table. It doesn't do anything. The only love that... that is their own love. When my husband comes and I say, I'm missing my boyfriend. I say. You don't understand. Those who have been in marriage, day in, day out, in sickness, in prosperity, in poverty, good times, bad times, times of understanding, times of misunderstanding, and they will now come and the man says, I love my wife. And the woman comes around and tells the children, I love your dad. Believe her. Because you have been tried. She had been tested. I've been seeing that man when the man was strong, when the man was weak, when the man was hungry. Where is the food? The faith that will get to heaven is tried, is tested. When the provision was there, when the provision was not there. Temptation, no temptation. Trial, no trial. The heaven is bright and everything is no cloud. Times very, very dark, thick clouds. And let me tell you, as a believer, no matter who you are, there are times of thick clouds. Thick clouds. That's why you don't just fly the plane once and you say, I'm a pilot. What have you seen? They'll make you go through turbulence, everything. When you have done that over and over, they will say, yes. You cannot become a pilot. But you don't start. They will say, second officer, first officer. And with experience, you have flown. And now you can get your own plane. The faith that will get to heaven You have fought with beasts at Ephesus, and you are still standing. You will stand. So the first thing is to understand what is at stake. And the second thing is to run. Amen. There are some people who are running, they don't know what they are running for. And when you ask, where are you running to? Well, I saw them running. Why do you run? Because I saw them running. You cannot run another man's race. You have to run your own race. Everybody has his own temptations. So then, what are the elements of the Christian race? Number one, well, the first element of the race is the salvation of your soul. That is, you have to understand the salvation of my soul. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, then is building on the rock. He who hears the word of God doesn't do them. What does he do? He's building. Everybody is building. But he's building upon the sand. Because no matter how you design your spiritual house, the winds will blow. In John chapter 6, some people, after they heard Jesus speaking, the Bible says from that time, many of his disciples, they went back and they walked no more with him. Can you imagine that? You're walking with Jesus. And I'm no more walking with Jesus. And some people will say, if I were there, I wouldn't be like that. Sure? And Jesus Christ asked the rest, the 12, will you also go away? Amen. You will not go. Praise the Lord. They couldn't go to the Pharisees. They couldn't go to the Sadducees. But why didn't they go back? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of euros, krona, the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that this is the Christ, the Savior of the whole world. That is what saved them at that hour. When others are going back, if you are going to be courageous, you have to be persuaded about that. Because people, they will offer you. Jacob will come and offer you pottage. But the price will be very high. Sell me your birthright. It now depends at that time what you think your salvation is worth. There will be sufficient opportunity. The Bible talks about the people that if they had been mindful of the place they left, they would have had what? Opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. It is that desire that will keep there. But how can you desire a country you are not persuaded of? Wherefore? That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How are you going to seek something diligently? Suppose I begin to look under this thing diligently. Somebody knows, I know something is there. If I know there is nothing there, there is no, why am I looking? Am I searching? So, brethren, Christianity is not, we just come to church and say, hey, if you want to serve Jesus, now we are going to serve Jesus. Say J-J-E-E-S-S-U-U-S-S. Call it together, Jesus. There are other people that do that also in the other religion. Just say it after me. You follow the Lord because you have looked. You have handled. You have understood that this is the very, very Son of God, and this is eternal life. And if I follow this way, I know the end of that way is bliss. That's why you are following. And why people do not follow is because they lose, either because they lose that perspective or they never had it. When you lose the perspective of running, then you begin to slow down or you branch off because you don't see yourself running the race. So the first thing is, you know, the salvation of your own soul. So you need a foundation. And then you deny yourself for it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, that's what makes the denier. You must know what you are paying for. Now you go to an hotel and they say, this is a 5-star hotel. How much does it cost? I say, 350 euros per night. Okay. Because it's my wedding night. Good. Deal. 350. And then you get there. And then they say, there is the bed there is 2 meters by 90 centimeters. Are you sure? It's a single bed. Yeah, felt because you are just married, you need family unity. So the smaller the bed, the closer you are together. You say, no, this is not what I paid for. When you pay for something, you have a vision what you are paying for. When you come to Jesus Christ, now when evangelists say, "Call, drop your sin, drop your boyfriend, drop." Wait, oh, why? Before I drop my boyfriend, because I know what I'm gaining. I'm using juju. Drop your juju. Wait, you must have something better. Don't lie to get money from government. Wait, this is the way I make my living in this country. Tell me, what are you giving to me? It is somebody who is not persuaded that this Jesus is better than all these other things. They say, no, I'm willing to give. I will give those things up because you are persuaded. It's difficult to give up anything if you are not persuaded about what you get in return. This is the way God has made us. We always think about benefits. Why not? Heaven is benefit. If you don't preach the benefit of the gospel, I wonder who is going to believe. I don't care whether there is benefit or not. I just want to follow Jesus. It's a lie. A human being is not designed that way. Here you are, sister, a single sister. Don't raise up your hand. There is a man here, and that man has a lot of money. The flats is there. You want to ride a car, everything. And he's a nice man. He's not a bad man. Doesn't have any criminal record. And here is another man. He's a nice man. Doesn't have criminal record. But he has only one pair of shoes. He doesn't have money. If you marry him, he would depend on you. And this other one is a nice man, a Christian, a deeper life Christian for that matter. And then they say, choose. Both of them are just the same. The only thing is that this one is very rich and this one is extremely poor. You know, he excels in poverty, excels in... What are you going to choose? I know my sister, I don't want to suffer. And God has given me the opportunity to choose. I choose. I'm not... And you know what they are going to say? I'm not marrying him because of his money. But, but why are you? Why don't you choose? Why don't you choose this one then? that one. I don't know what will happen. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing as the choice of heaven. Sometimes we make things more spiritual than they really are. I'm not marrying Jesus because of anything. I just like his face. It's because the promise of eternal life. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Eternal life. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I don't want to perish, but will have everlasting life. That is what I'm choosing. That's why I'm not choosing the devil. That's why I'm not choosing the world. That is the element, the salvation of your soul. The second element is to fulfill your ministry. That's why you need the courage. Because the thing is that when God now calls you, there is a mission for you. And if you have a noble mission in life, you need courage to do that. He has called you to be a soul winner, has called you to be a prayer warrior, has called you to do this, has called you to do that. You need courage to be able to run that, because in the pathway of doing that thing, challenges will come. It's always like that. Here you are, a pastor. There is a congregation here, and there is another congregation there. And you know God has called you to this congregation. And God is working. And another opportunity will come your way to make more money, because you are not a full-time pastor. Or even if you are, maybe there is another congregation that don't want to pay you more. And you know what I have discovered in church? Now you have a full-time pastor, and pastor is praying. You look at like today, promotion and other things like that, when pastor was praying. Yes. Who wants increase of salary? I think even from the control center, they raised down there. I thought they were so busy, you know, with spiritual things. They raised their hand. But you know what I've discovered? All the members of the church, when pastor asked them increase of salary, they put out their hand. If the pastor happens to be a full-time worker and then gives that testimony, I praise the Lord, my salary has increased. How? You know? Because that's where the church money goes. How can pastor's salary be increasing? You understand? They want extra money, but when it comes to increasing salary of the pastor, so you understand now? Are we consistent? Amen. I'm not asking for salary. Praise the Lord. But you know, you have a mission. And an opportunity may come. Okay, go there. There is a greener pasture there. Where are you going to leave your ministry? Some people don't even ask, can I fulfill my ministry where I'm going? Praise God. I saw that advertisement. In fact, now I'm earning 4,000 euros per month. And that way, this is coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. Because this one is 7,500. But apart from that, they will settle the tax themselves. This one, I will have to struggle with that. This one is 7,500 netto. And apart from that, there is a company car. Accommodation is not part of that. Hey, before they think about ministry, is that how they are going? We even have side scriptures. Think carefully about it. Opportunities that come your way, not all opportunities come from God. And sometimes the opportunities come from God. I'm asking you here, how many people God now says, you have a ministry and God says, I want to prosper you. Go there. And God is trying you like he tried Abraham. And then he provides another opportunity. And you ask the Lord, is there any ministry there? Don't worry. You'll be by phone. You'll be connecting to these people. How many are going to say, Father, thank you. I choose your work. You know, that's at such a time you need courage. And your wife says, my husband, I hope the devil is not coming into this thing. We have been praying for increase of finances, and God has provided, and pressure might come up. It might be your husband. I said, I've been thinking about this, you know, this thing we are building here and there. But think carefully. It might not be coming from God. How much money do we actually need? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, those tests will come. And at such a time, you might not be singing here. The God on the mountain is the same in the valley. You. The trial at that time is for you. You are the one on trial. The pastor can be on trial. The member of the church can be on trial. That is the thing. If you are going to run, how do you run? Well, get extra oil. Amen? Get extra oil. Oil in your lamp. You remember that passage of the scripture? Get extra oil. You pray. You watch and pray. You take heed. Take heed unto yourself. There are some things that may begin to develop. When you see that your love for God is reducing, that means love for prayer, love for reading the Bible is reducing. Check carefully. Take heed. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with drunkenness, with surfeiting, and that day comes upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. God wants you to watch. You watch your spirit, you take heed, and then you reach forward. Forget the things that are behind. Look unto those things that are before. There are some times you need to close your eyes to be able to see. Do you understand? Times you need to close your eyes to see. Because if you always open your eyes, you will see, but not the right thing. You closed your eyes. So I've set my face like a flint. All these things that you are proposing to me, sorry, I know if I give myself to them, I will get them, but I've chosen something better. You reach forward. You reach forward. You reach forward. You reach forward. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we have seen it. You need to consecrate yourself. You are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. You lay aside. Say, this one is unnecessary. This one is unnecessary. That one is unnecessary. That one is. I really want the barest minimum. Hey, especially as a minister, listen to me. Challenges will come your way, but you need to make up your mind. What does the minister need? You need Jesus. Focus on him. If you do it this way, you do it this way. You don't. No. I said, this one is a message. This one is a message. A minister of your level. Look at the kind of car you are driving. And then something comes your way. It's true. Even ministers that are less than that, look at the kind of, even my church members, look at the car they are driving. As if you recognize a minister by the car. No. Leaders are not recognized by their perks and privileges. They are recognized by the pain and by the level of their consecration. That's leadership. Sometimes the members of the church say, we want our pastor to shine. Well, that's their vision. God has a different vision for me. If I can please that man of Calvary. When I get to heaven, they are not going to say, oh, look at the man. When he was on earth, this is his car. This is his. They are going to look. This is what he did when he was on earth. Listen to me. Many of the things we run after, they don't pass to eternity. They are unnecessary weights. Drop them off. The value of your goal is in what you abandon for that goal. If you really have a goal in life, it's like a man that is having a pier of great price. You find it, and you sell everything that you have just for that one. And listen to me, Christianity, the love of Jesus, the appreciation of Jesus, to be happy with Jesus and Jesus happy in me. Here you have husband and wife. I think many wives will prefer the love of the man, the love of the marriage, and with little means, just little accommodation and just basic things, than to stay with Ahasuerus, and you only see him once in 2 months. Because Esther said, these 30 days, I have not been called to appear before the king. What kind of marriage is that? And are we not married to Jesus? I want to see him every time. I want to be with him. Is there anything
that is going to, I will get my hand into something and then I can't, no, forget. Even preaching, even ministry. I don't want to be in a ministry where I cannot fellowship with Jesus. It doesn't make sense. Take your posts and let those posts go away. I want to follow Jesus. Do you want to follow Jesus? You want to follow Jesus? Let's rise up to commit ourselves to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Anywhere you go, whatever you give me, that's what I take. What you don't give, I don't take. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I just want to follow you for the rest of my life. Give me more love for you. My love is not enough, but I know you can give me more. My strength is not enough, I know you can give me more. My consecration is not enough, but I know you can give me more. The only thing I know is that I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to love you. My understanding of the Bible is not enough, but Lord, I know you can teach me. You can teach me. You can just give me more love. Give me more understanding. I want to follow you. I don't want to follow the devil. I don't want to go away from you, no matter what I have done. Oh Lord, don't chase me away. Don't just like Ruth and Naomi. I don't want to leave you, Lord. I just want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. No matter what may be happening, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. His name is Jesus. He's the lover of our soul. He's the lover of my soul. He's the lover of your soul. He's the lover of your soul. Whatever he has not provided, just tell him, Lord, I know I have needs in my life, but I want you, number one in my life. I want you to be my everlasting portion. More than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want to just walk close to you. Lord, give me the grace. Send your spirit to me. Deliver me from temptation. Give me courage. No matter what the challenges of my life may be. Even doctrine. They say doctrine is difficult. Doctrine, Lord, oh God, I know your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. I just want to follow you. No matter what you demand. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. His name is Jesus. He is our Savior. He can save. He can preserve. He can strengthen. He can succor. He is our helper. He is the lover of my soul. He is the lover of your soul. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the dearest, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley. The lily of the valley. In him alone I find all I need to cleanse and make me whole. In sorrow is my comfort. In trouble is my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He is the lily of the valley. The bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith. And I do his blessed will, a wall of fire around me, I have nothing to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill, then sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He is the lily of the valley, he is the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I want to love you more than this, I want to love you more than this, I want to stay with you more than this, I want to be more married to you than it will be more joined. I don't want the world to come in between. I don't want any man to come in between. I want a love that is pure. I just want to follow you continually, daily, every day, every hour, every moment. I don't want any separation at all. Even death will not be able to separate me from you. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh Lord, I want to follow you to the end. And the ministry that I'm doing for you, I want to do it with joy, to do it for you, to do it for you, to do it for you. Oh Lord, keep me close, 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 close. Let me be the ring in your finger. Oh Lord, let me be the apple of your eye. Just draw me closer, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. O Lord, keep me nearer. Keep me nearer. Keep me nearer. Keep me nearer. Thou art my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with you. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Only let me walk with you. Bear me through the veil of shadow. Bear me all lights which will see. Then the gate of heaven Oh Lord, close me to yourself. Get me closer to yourself. Pray, pray, pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what I have, what I don't have, if I have Jesus, I have everything. If I have Jesus, I have everything. Your will be everything. From today, oh Lord, redefine my Christian life. Oh Lord, redefine my commitment, my consecration. Oh Lord, today, inject spiritual life, spiritual fire, spiritual power into me. Something new, something fresh, something different. He will do it.